Well, thank you, Greg, and a big hello.
Hello!
It's shaping up to be a great feast, isn't it? We were over at the True Grit Cafe yesterday, and I guess you could say it is a true grit down. So, yeah, we went away plenty full. Mark was talking about the history of Ouray, and one thing somebody told me at the hotel was that, 4,000 years ago, Ouray used to be a volcano. So, I don't know, that's what someone told me there. Well, we still have those hot springs there, so maybe it's true. Well, due to some of the happenings around the world, some interesting scriptures I thought I would bring out. Because of us, our nation, turning their back on God, scripture says, I will appoint terror over all your cities. Well, you can see that happening. That's been fulfilled. And in Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, our inheritance has been turned over to aliens, and our houses to foreigners. So you can see the handwriting on the wall. Scriptures makes it pretty plain what's going on today. Well, this is the second day of the 2017 Feast of Tabernacles. How many of this is your first feast? Anyone here, this is your first feast? How about second or third? Okay. Well, this is my 40th feast. How many has been here for over 40 times to the feast? Look at the hands. That's a bunch. How many over 50? Wow, look at that. Okay, well, I was talking to fellowshipping this morning and got into two different people brought up the same topic. So I think I'll make my sermon a little longer. I'm going to add a few scriptures at the end of my sermon and talk about that. But right now, my topic is born into the kingdom of God. We are all physical beings. We are all born a physical birth, but when we're born again, at Jesus Christ's return at the last trumpet, you will be born a spiritual being, a spiritual birth. That is, if you qualify as the first fruit, so you got to endure to the end. Following this spiritual birth, there will be a great celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then, Satan will be put away for 1,000 years on the Day of Atonement. We just had the Day of Atonement. Then comes the job of comforting all the people who survived through the Great Tribulation. A period of peace and tranquility will take place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords begins to rule in the millennium. This Feast of Tabernacles pictures that time, a time of peace, a time of plenty. Those of you that went to Spokesman Club, my SPS is, this morning I hope to encourage you to focus on being born into the kingdom of God. That's our focus. Of course, Satan wants to stop you. He wants to throw a monkey wrench into that. I'm going to speak some more about Satan later on. We, those are born spiritually, the elect, the church, we're the first fruits, will serve as ambassadors from Jerusalem to every nation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we will help in removing war from the face of this earth. Well, let's see that in Isaiah 2, chapter 2 of Isaiah. I'm going to read in chapter 2 of Isaiah, verses 2 to 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain. Mountains usually refers to a government or a kingdom. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and he will walk in his path. We will walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth this law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Down at the bottom of verse 4, I'll just read that part. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Well, at that time, Jerusalem will become the international center of religion and government. The world will be taught true biblical Christianity. Today, it's false religion. But the truth includes a faith-filled obedience to God. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 to 20. Verse 19, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. At this time, true Christianity will include these religious festivals that were kept by Jesus and the disciples. We can see that in Zechariah 14, 16. Zechariah chapter 14, down in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, what we're doing right now. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Today, we live in a time when the threat of war is ever present. The news today is depressing and sometimes just scary. But this is going to change. Let's go to Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now that's quite a change, isn't it? Quite a change. The church, which is the elect, will have a spiritual birth at Christ's return. That is, if you don't turn aside, but continue to endure to Christ's return, then you will be chosen, chosen to be born into the family of God, the kingdom of God. Your first birth was a physical birth, and the second, a spiritual birth. So we must continue living for Jesus Christ, our King, to be born again. We must overcome and endure the end. Our lives are to be lived each day in anticipation and preparation for the coming of our Lord and Savior. We look forward to being in the family of God for how long? For an eternity. That's a long time. When Jesus returns to earth in the full supreme power and glory of the Creator God, He is coming this time to save the world spiritually. He will begin to separate the sheep from the goats. He separates those who have repented, who believe, and receive His Holy Spirit. This separates them from the goats. Those who rebel are the goats. As time goes on in the millennium, this process will continue right on down through the millennium, right on down into the great white throne judgment. Let's see that in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to read verses 31 to 34. Chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 31. We're in the millennium now. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So that process goes on throughout the millennium and into the great white throne judgment. The pure truth of God will be proclaimed to all people. No one any longer will be deceived. As the earth will be full of knowledge of the eternal, as the waters cover the sea. You can see that in Jeremiah 31, 34. Jeremiah 31, starting in 31, 34. Okay. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," for all shall know Me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin and remember no more. Now, that was an Old Testament. Let's see that in the New Testament. Hebrews 8, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. Okay, verse 11. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," for all shall know Me, from the least of them to the greatest. So it's repeated in the New Testament. To set out to save the world spiritually, it will require re-educating the world. Today's system of education is based on false, erroneous, untrue foundation. Today's educated, even great minds, have taken on false knowledge. They have allowed a false sense of values to flood their minds. Truth to them appears to be fable. They see what is the truth as foolishness. Let's see that in 1 Corinthians. If they see it as foolishness. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. This miseducation holds their minds captive. They have to be re-educated. That's going to be our job. So the re-education of the world will be an important task, but God's Spirit can work wonders. These feasts of God gives us hope through these very depressing times. In Matthew 24, verse 6, Christ told his disciples, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So when you see disaster after disaster, be patient, be not troubled. That's hard to do in it, not to be troubled, when, like the shootings you heard about, all these floods, things are going to get worse. But Christ says, do not be troubled. Why? Because Christ means for you to stay focused on the kingdom of God. When these things happen, stay focused on the kingdom of God. You know, and not on this troubled world. Don't let this troubled world worry you. We know what's going to happen. Don't let it confuse you. No matter what we see in these troubling times, keep your focus on the coming kingdom of God. We will serve and rule with Christ throughout the millennium. Revelation 20 shows that we will rule with Christ during this time. Let's go to Revelation 20. Well, I'm going to start in verse 4, but just above it, this verse mentions a second death, of which there is no resurrection from second death. Well, Revelation 20 and verse 4. Verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and he had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Let's look at verse 6 now. "Blessed and happy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So, speaking of the second death, you don't want second death. You know why? You don't want the second death because it's hell to be dead forever. That's eternal punishment. That's what it amounts to. So for those that do repent, let's see what it will be like. Let's turn to Isaiah 11, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 11. Yeah, for those who do repent, this is what it'll be like. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." The cow and the bear shall graze. The younger ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. You won't see that happening today. But that shows that the nature of animals will be changed. God will work even a greater miracle than changing animals' nature. He plans to change human nature. Yes, God, by His powerful Spirit, He will change man's defiant nature, self-centered attitude. By God's Spirit working with a converted mind, it will promote a serving, giving, sharing, respectful, and loving concern for others. God will destroy the spiritual blindness that has hidden the truth from all nations. He's going to do that. They will be able to see as we see now. With that and the absence of Satan, humans will become teachable. They will be open to God's truth. You know, with this spiritual blindness lifted, they'll be open to God's truth. We are to be teachers. Well, you know, when the spiritual blindness is lifted, we should be able to teach these people now. Yes, we'd be teachers in the millennium and should by now grown enough to be teachers. You know, most of us have known the truth, and we've been studying the truth for decades. Most of us are seniors. Most of us that are seniors have been in the church for decades and have learned God's laws. Holy days and the ways of the Almighty, we have been taught. We should all be off of milk, but on strong meat, meat of His Word. These are the plans of a loving God. God's laws produce real, genuine joy. You know, after a terrible tribulation, joy will be embraced. Let's see that in Jeremiah 31, 13. Jeremiah 31, 13. I thought it got deleted out of my Bible. I couldn't see it. Here it is. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn this mourning to joy, will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. Feast of Tabernacles is a time to rejoice. Scripture repeatedly proclaims the kingdom of God to be the reign of Jesus right here on this earth at His return. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Now the above scriptures in chapter 2, verse 44, the one verses above, is talking about kingdoms of men that have risen and fallen, but the one that Christ sets up stands forever. Okay, Daniel 2, 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now let's go. Well, no nation has brought this about before, but this government will stand forever with Christ ruling. We can also see that in Revelation chapter 11. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11, down in verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Okay, now let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. I wanted to read verse 27. I didn't, did I? Let's go back to Daniel 7. Okay, down in verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Verse 27 mentioned the saints. The saints are the church, the first fruits. That means you, if you have God's Spirit. Yes, Bible prophecy tells us that Jesus will establish his kingdom on earth, and he will be a great religious reformation, a final restoration of all things as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Let's see that in Acts chapter 3. Down in verse 19 through 21. Acts 3, verses 19 to 21. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And at that time he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. See, that was Acts chapter 3. The Bible reveals this government and kingdom of God is on this earth. The angel Gabriel revealed to Mary that her son, Jesus, would be head of this kingdom. Yeah, Gabriel came to Mary and revealed this. Let's see that in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Verses 26 to 27. Okay, verses 32 to 33, but I'm going to read 26, 27 first. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Now, Jesus told his followers who would reign in the kingdom. Let's go to Matthew 19, 28. Matthew 19, and down in verse 28. So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So that was Matthew 19:28. So each of the 12 apostles will reign over the 12 tribes of Israel during the millennium, and King David will rule over them. Let's see that in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verses 23 to 24. Well, let's see, Ezekiel 34, I went. Verse 23, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Well, peace and tranquility will reign. So what will the millennium be like? Will it be heaven on earth? What's the millennium going to be like? Can you imagine a world with no protest, no poverty, no sickness, no famine, no crime, no jails, no hospitals? Can you imagine that? How about no politics? People in the millennium will be loving, honest, kind, and happy. Doesn't this make you want to shout for joy, knowing all this is coming? Doesn't it make you want to pray and put your whole heart in your prayers and pray for that kingdom, for that government of God to come? You pray every day, thy kingdom come. You know, it sounds like heaven on earth. Well, indeed, it is heaven on earth. Of course, later, God the Father will come down after flesh and blood is no longer. And a new Jerusalem and a new heaven and a new earth arrives. See, the Father can't come down until sin is done away with. There's no flesh and blood. Only flesh and blood sins. What a day that will be, you know, of rejoicing. Of course, it was a day of rejoicing at the wedding supper. I'm sure the Father will be at the wedding supper. He could not miss out on the wedding supper of his Son. So he can't come down on earth because flesh and blood. So the wedding, that's why the wedding will be up at third heaven, away from flesh and blood. The Father cannot be where there is sin. But in the meantime, what is Jesus doing up in heaven? You know, ever since he was resurrected, he's somewhere. What's he doing up there in heaven? Well, let's go to John 14. Let's see what he's doing up there. John 14, verses 1 to 3. John 14, down in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go. Where does he go? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what is Jesus doing up in heaven? You know, our Savior is arranging a place for each of us. There are mansions and positions up there waiting for us, waiting for all the first fruits. So Jesus will establish the government of God here on this earth with one world religion worshiping the one true God. and he will offer salvation to a broken humanity. He will erase poverty, set up a new education system, and an economy that is fair to all. And you can help. He has planned and created a place for you in his kingdom, for each of us. The kingdom will be a perfect government, not like today's politics. It's a perfect government. It has all the right solutions. World peace is coming. You have a part in it. As a servant and a leader in God's government, you will have that very kind of an opportunity. Jerusalem will be the focal point of government for the nations. The whole world will look to this holy city, Jerusalem. They will look to Jerusalem for guidance. Jesus will reign as King of Kings, and his glory will shine from the city of peace. Let's see that in Isaiah 40, verse 5. Isaiah 40. Down in verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay, that was Isaiah 40 and verse 5. The millennium will be a time of rest, a 1,000-year Sabbath for all. It will be a time of restoring, building, growing, and undoing 6,000 years of misrule. You know, 6,000 years of misrule by governments of men, and you see how they're ruling. Jerusalem has been for centuries full of strife and bloodshed, but now it will be a time of comforting, healing, and forgiving. Let's go back to Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. You know, after all the troubles, this world's going to go through this great tribulation. They're going to need a lot of comforting, healing. So verse chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, when the millennium and the great white throne judgment is over, then comes heaven and a new earth. Now, the rest of the universe is still in decay and deterioration. God did not create it in that state. He creates perfection. It was when the angels sinned that the entire universe became that way. We can see that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then something happened. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, we're going to talk about Satan some. This morning I was fellowshipping with some of you, and two different times this came up. So I'm adding some scripture. This wasn't with my sermon, but anyway, here it goes. Let's go to some scriptures about Satan. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Revelation 12 and down in verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, now let's go to verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman and was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Okay, Satan drew a third of his angels. Now let's go to Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah chapter 14, down in verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And it goes on and down in verse 17. Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities. Notice that. Made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities. We're going to talk about that some more in a little bit. But keep that in mind. Satan made the world as a wilderness. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel 28. All of these are about Satan. I want you to get a good look at Satan. Ezekiel 28 and verse 15. Excuse me, verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till what? Till iniquity was found in you. Let's go up to verse 13. You were in Eden, the Garden of Eden. See, he was there before Adam and Eve. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Okay. Those are some scriptures I added. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what took place here. So Lucifer, now Satan, and a third of the angels, which are now demons, once they were kicked out of heaven for sinning, rebelling against God, they were kicked out in the rebellion against God. Why doesn't God just do away with Satan and all the demons? Why don't he do that? Well, he could. But he chooses not to. Why does he choose not to get rid of Satan? Well, Scripture says nothing is impossible with God. He could uncreate Satan. Nothing is impossible with God. He could uncreate Satan. But why don't he? What he creates, he can destroy. Maybe he doesn't do away with Satan, because justice needs to be served to Satan. See, Satan has done some terrible things. God allows Satan to be punished for an eternity so Satan can see his sins that were so terrible, so bad. See, he is unrepentant of influencing murder, terror, destroying families, family values, marriages, child abuse, rape, and destruction. Look at the destruction he's caused across this earth. Look at the universe. As the verse said, lays in waste. So God allows him, down through eternity, to serve him justice and for him to see, you know, how bad these sins were. Every abortion, every murder, every rape, he influenced it. So that could be, I said could be, why God doesn't destroy Satan. He wants to serve justice. God has a thing about justice. Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now notice there, it didn't say anything about the evening and the morning was the first day, does it? Doesn't say that. But it says it later when he created light and all the rest of the verses of his creation. It does say after each verse where he created, it says the evening and morning was the first day or the second or third all the way down to 6 days. So the earth was already created in the beginning, as verse 1 implies. So continuing verse 2, and darkness was on the face of the earth. Now God restored order to the earth and replaced the reptile-type animals as dinosaurs. He replaced them with mammal-type animals that you see today. You don't see any dinosaurs running around. He replaced them with the mammal-type animals that you see here today. Now, if they would have been on the ark, if dinosaurs had been on the ark, why don't you see them running around today? See, they weren't on the ark, or they'd be here today just like every other animal was brought on the ark. If dinosaurs and flying reptiles were on the ark, where are they today? So that shows that the dinosaurs were here before Adam. Mr. Armstrong wrote a booklet on that, Dinosaurs Before Adam. I still have that booklet. And of course, all of God's creations, the apex of God's creation, including angels, is man. We're up to top level. The apex of his creation is man. Now, for more on this, let's go to Psalms 104 and verse 30. Down in verse 30. Psalms 104. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. See, Satan sinned, and the earth is without form and void. In verse 2, it says here in Psalms 104, verse 30, and you renew the face of the earth. Okay? That was Psalms 104, verse 30. So, God renewed the face of the earth. But the rest of the universe is still out there in decay, still in darkness, void, in waste. So the universe is waiting until we are born into the kingdom of God, and under God's direction, we aid in renewing the universe. So as we are born into the kingdom of God, great plans are waiting for us as the whole creation groans for that time period. Let's see that. Let's go to that in Revelation 21. Verses 1 to 3. Revelation 21. Verses 1 to 3. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. So there will be a spiritual creation of the heavens and earth. Right now we have a physical earth here. The new heaven and new earth and a new Jerusalem. Prepare for that day. It is coming. Fellowship and serve with other like-minded brethren. Christian leadership based on service is the best possible preparation for your coming job as the King under Jesus in this coming age. Now see, I missed a chapter where I want to show you. Let's go to Romans 8:22. See, the universe is still in waste. Let's go to Romans 8:22. I missed giving you an important scripture here, naturally. Let's read verse 22 there in Romans. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Okay, let's go up to verse 19. For the earnest expectations of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because of the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Remember verse 2 in Genesis? That void and without forms in a wasteland. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of who? Of the children of God. So, the universe out there is in a mess because Satan sinned, and the children of God says here, we are going to restore it, renew it. That's part of God's plan, right there in your Bible. So the earth will be renewed, as we read in also Psalms 104, verse 30, showed that. And thus the universe is next. So the universe is waiting until we are born into the kingdom of God, and under God's direction, we aid in renewing the universe. So as we are born in the kingdom of God, great plans are waiting for us. The whole creation groans for that time period. So, there will be a spiritual creation of the heavens and earth. We just read that. Prepare for that day. It's coming. Yes, the millennium is utopia on earth. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures it, a time of plenty, a time of peace. These feasts help us in preparing for it. That's why we're here. We're in preparation. God's working with each of us, you and me, preparing us for this time. These preparations are an important time in our lives. We need to be here. Enjoy and rejoice. God commands it. You're commanded to rejoice here at the feast. Now, as final scripture I want to give you is in Revelation 21. And one reason I'm giving this scripture is because so many people have told me this is their favorite verse in the Bible. So it may be yours after this. Let's see. Revelation 21, verse 4. Okay, here it is. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. No more death. No more sorrow. It's coming. Nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. My favorite verse was Joshua, where he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But that's a good one too here in Revelation 21, verse 4. That was my final scripture. Though Satan will try to trip you up now, you leave this door and go out into the world, he's going to work on you. You, the first fruits, can be born in the kingdom of God and help others in the kingdom of God. You will be assigned a position in the kingdom of God to help others to be born in the kingdom of God. And then move on to other things in the universe. Clean it up. Brethren, pray, thy kingdom come.